Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Bonjour, bonsoir, madame et mademoiselle. Welcome once again to Meltdown Comics in Hollywood, California. Harmontown is now in session. While we're at it, let's welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Nothing really to talk about tonight. Very busy, very sleepy. We're working on this G.I. Joe cartoon.
Wasn't that supposed to be turned in several months ago?
Well, it airs Thursday.
So you're still making it?
We're just got a couple more G.I. Joes to draw.
Wait, so you have an animated episode of Community that is... when was that supposed to be, like, in a properly functioning studio network driven universe? When was that supposed to be in?
I don't. Months ago.
Months ago.
Well, you said that. Now you're shocked by it.
Well,
wasn't that supposed to be done months ago? I don't know. Months ago. Months ago. I don't know what. I don't know what that means.
We're putting on a show here, Dan. I'm trying to involve these people in the crisis that is your life right now.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't. I just don't. I don't do time. I'm not good with like dates and things. And I certainly it's all my fault.
What time does your show air?
8 o'clock.
He does that time.
It's all my fault because I took too long to write the script and all this stuff. But so Shrob's kind of doing his Shrob thing, and you know he's being an asshole. And it's like saying you know stuff on Twitter implying like I should be there instead of being here, or be you know if I went out to go do wedding plans with Aaron and then Rob was tweeting like you know hope you're having fun while I'm over here animating this and stuff and. So today, you don't have this on your iPad, do you?
I might have it in my mail. Do you want me, to try to open it in there?
Will it then play on their speakers better?
Let's see if I have.
So today I went over and it was one of the last things I had to do was record the vocals of for the G.I. Joe theme. We had Jonathan Kimmel, who's Jimmy's brother, who actually we used him for some vocal stuff on the Sarah Silverman show back in the day, and he's a great singer and he's particularly good at this G.I. Joe register for that well-known theme song. So
I have a question about it, but before we play it, is that so close that you guys are in jeopardy of copyright infringement? No,
it's with their permission. Hasbro's been very
because it's the melody, like
it's the absolute song.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're caught. It's G.I. Joe in the.
Okay.
So I just did some alternate lyrics. I think we're allowed to play this because it's like fair use or parody or something, right? I don't know.
our show? I play the Beatles and shit, man.
Like, yeah, I mean it's a podcast. Let's hope we squeak by. I mean, we're not going to make any money off of this or steal any money from anybody.
What would the cease and desist be? Stop doing that next week.
It's being leaked. It's like the Chevy voicemails. It's a leak.
Okay.
I don't know who's doing this. Who's
TMZ, get your cameras out, right?
So I didn't even listen to the Jonathan did the regular lyrics of the theme song because that's what people really want to hear. But I ran in with I was like, can you do one more take and just do these alternate lyrics for so I can bring them back to the office to Schraub?
So this is punishing Rob Schraub, who's dutifully directing the episode that you turned in too late.
Yeah.
And he's working around the clock.
Yeah.
He tweets some bullshit whenever he's busy. Schraub is an asshole. Schraub asshole. Schraub asshole is there. It's Robbie Schraub against all of humanity, tweeting mean things all day. He'll never be nice. He's always mean, eating his own poop and drinking his pee. Schraub asshole is there.
Schraub asshole is the code name for America's biggest, dumbest, poop-eating asshole. His purpose? To tweet mean things at Dan Harmon, a TV writer determined to entertain nice people. I also suspect he hits his wife.
He makes you feel bad when you write a script late. Schraub is an asshole. Schraub asshole.
A little unfair, but it's great. It's a good song.
It's accurate. I mean, he's very, very. You know, he gets close to a deadline, and then he's like, "Oh, I hate you! I hate you for not turning the script on time or whatever." Makes him feel better. Gets him going. You know what's not healthy for me is a satisfied, confident Schraub that feels sorry for me or is loyal to me. That's dangerous. Him running around out there. I don't know.
Why is that?
I don't know. He's a devious guy. Remember when Sarah fired me?
Yeah.
He kept working there.
Is that what this is about?
Don't
bury the lead.
There's always a little of that underneath everything. I don't know.
You guys used to be inseparable best friends. Are you guys still? I mean, you're not as close as you obviously were. But what's the state of the
what
union?
What do you mean?
You guys?
We're just close. We had a year where we were really actually not talking to each other. Like we were actually mad following in the wake of the Sarah thing. Like I actually spent a year like kind of not liking him and stuff for real. But then we made up. When Mike Ash died, Channel 101, we were at a memorial service for a guy who ended his life doing Channel 101, and it just felt like we're both there, and it just felt knobbish to continue to not like each other. So we kind of made up there. Yeah, put it in your biopic.
And then you wrote that song today.
All right, I don't have anything. I mean, in pop culture news.
I smell Bieber rant.
No, there's a...
That was a goodie, by the way.
There's hashtag... The new thing now, Jeff, is hashtags. You can use hashtags to cancel TV shows for being racist. You can pick which show you think is racist, and you can hashtag cancel in the name of the show, and then voila. Racism will go away. Comedy will become incredibly sophisticated. The whole species will become smarter because obviously people that do that are all ready for really smart material to go into their heads. Like we're clearly at peak IQ as a nation here. It's just a new thing.
Do you have a for instance hashtag on your mind right now?
Well, I would like to submit hashtag cancel Teen Wolf. I think Teen Wolf's racist. It's on Mondays at 10:30.
Oh, you know I created that show.
Also, aren't you racist?
Huh? As racist as the day is long.
Okay. So please watch.
As Jeff Brian Davis, not the creator of Teen Wolf, who people still are convinced that I created the goddamn show, that I have never seen nor would under any fucking circumstance. Every time I tell people that, I get more Teen Wolf followers. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, in Portuguese, I did a series of tweets again about how I didn't create it, but I start doing TNA. TNA. I'm getting ahead of myself. Teen Wolf Q&A, or as I call it, TNA, because my time is very valuable. I answer questions about Teen Wolf as me, but people think that I am Jeff Davis, creator of Criminal Minds and Teen Wolf. And I just keep saying what a racist I am and how
So cancel Teen Wolf and watch Rick and Morty on Mondays at 10:30 instead. That's my secret agenda. Teen Wolf is the only show that gets higher ratings than Rick and Morty in our time slot.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's unfair. And look, I think I've made it pretty clear. I'm not too hip to the modern TV shows and music and stuff like that. I fucking love Rick and Morty. I watched it like last week, and I texted you about it, which I don't really do. That show delights me. It makes me very happy.
It's nice. It's a good show.
It's really.
Well,
it's good. It's good. And I think I can say that objectively and like subtract my friendship with you and knowing Justin and knowing everybody involved with it. I think I would like that show in a vacuum just as much. Like Futurama, like I've watched those, never did it. Like those other animated shows. Like, this is fucking goody.
I never really watched Futurama. I heard it was really good. I should go
I'm
back.
I'm sure it is. I never got off the ground from it.
Okay, so I wanted to bring out some special friends and kind of have a special show tonight because we're gonna take a little break for April. I had a little chance. Got a lot of shit going on. That's not really why. I can be busy and keep doing Harmontowns, and I'll miss it as soon as we don't do it for a week. But we're just gonna take April off, and because it's a show that never takes a hiatus.
Is this because Game of Thrones is also on Sunday?
Oh. No, but I also, you know, and then there's people tweeting, oh shit, I'm coming in from Australia, and I'm like, okay, I'll have a drink with you, and then someone else says, I'm coming in from Texas, and okay, I'll have a drink with you. I'm going to have a busier month because I'm taking it off. But I also just realized, you know, Aaron and I are now scheduling like a trip to go to Cancun at some point, and I think that might overlap with the arrival of Levi. Remember Levi with the bare feet and the business?
How could I forget?
He's coming up here. And then I saw that, and I was like, well, that guy's not going
to
take
go to Cancun with
missing
Levi.
Me.
Take Levi to Cancun. It's built for bare feet.
I feel like as long as the boat that's hitched to my car has at least one axle, Levi will figure out a way to come down there. Cape Fear reference.
Wow.
Okay. Jesus.
Is that Robert Mitchum or?
Well, I was referencing the De Niro movie.
De Niro movie.
Someone said both, I think. Maybe they. I never saw the Mitchum one. Oof, what a sizzler this tonight's show is. Not that it's our job to sizzle. I don't know.
We're a sizzler.
Okay.
I think iTunes called us most notable sizzlers.
Oh. Are we on Sizzler site?
I don't have a lot of time.
Are we in M&S?
You don't have a lot of money? Sizzler.
So in what order should we bring people up? I say
in alphabetical.
I say first. Is Duncan here yet? No. Okay.
Well, spoiler.
Yeah. Well, first let's bring out Kumail then.
Hello. Hello.
Sorry.
Thank you for nailing that.
I have to say the iPad's been a little spotty today.
I gotta say, I've had that because I was at Starburns earlier today for some other thing, and you played me that song, Shrab Asshole. It's been stuck in my head.
It's really catchy. See Rob on the street or something, really, he'd really appreciate you. That's why I emailed it to his wife and all his friends.
I've actually been doing fake lyrics to that melody all day long. Cheddar cheese. Yeah. Favorite cheese on my sandwich. Cheddar cheese is there.
It was so funny because you played it for me and Shrab was there. And he's so good at that where he's like, oh, come on, guys. Please, no, come on. It was so funny to see his face as we're listening to this.
He loves being the victim. You remember when he comes on the show, it's like it's really fun to make fun of him.
It really is.
Like He makes it really fun.
He does.
He says stop doing it, but it's like...
So are your parents still in town?
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, my parent-in-laws. Oh. What do you say?
Oh, I was following your Instagrams, and I thought it was like your parents.
You thought I had white parents? Are you not paying attention at all?
There were no photos. I didn't see photos of your parents. There was just like captions that said like my mom taking a picture of a thing.
Oh yeah, that was Emily's mom.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, they are still in town. They're in town for a
Emily's white.
Yeah, dude. Okay. I scored.
Lucky devil.
We don't see race at Harmontown. Harmontown is
yes we fucking do.
Harmontown is a race free zone, which sounds bad.
Yeah, only one race allowed.
It's a
no races.
I think if you go back and listen to all the Harmontowns, I think that statement will stand up.
I obsess about race because the rest of society gets tangled in it, falters in it. I, who see human beings as beacons of light, try to study.
You're about to say the most racist thing yet. Beacons of light. He means white people.
Beacons of light with different accents. that cancel thing was really bugging me too, because it was Colbert and SNL were the two ones, right?
Yeah.
And it was for race stuff.
Well, it's also, there's other, you know, I invite people's decision to start pushing comedy to be more sophisticated or like, but that's not, you don't do that by canceling shows. Wait, so, and you don't cancel shows with hashtags.
What is the hashtag? Hashtag cancel it racist?
No, it's cancel. You're terrible at coming up with hashtags. It's gotta be quick, buddy. Gotta be snappy. Well, we only got 140 characters. Get to it.
Okay, what is the
cancel
hashtag?
It racist?
Cancel it racist.
How is the racist?
Another hashtag. Cancel Colbert and cancel SNL are the two hashtags that I think Jen
but,
was
but
referring
why is,
to.
Why is race built into that hashtag?
Well, it's not. It's just two things in a row happen where the Twitter account for Colbert tweeted.
Which is not run by their writers.
Whatever. So there was a joke on there that was the first free joke in what 20 years that show's been had a Twitter account, I guess, because it was like I don't know what the joke was, but it was like it really doesn't matter. It was sort of interpreted as
I know what the joke was, and it was just a quote from the show the night before, and it was taken out of context and quoted, and the point of it was. The owner of the Redskins, they're like, sort of, you know how Colbert does? So it's like, yeah, he's right. He should have a racist, whatever. He's helping him. And then it said in the show, he says like, and we have the, I'm going to feel horrible saying it, but it's like, we'll have the Ching Chong Bing Bong Foundation to help Asian Americans. That was what.
Hashtag cancel Kumail Nanjiani.
I can't be racist. I'm not white.
That's racist.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Kumail, I'm white. If I say it's racist, I'm right.
Fuck. That's right. So something like that, even if you don't...
You've learned nothing.
Yeah. Even if you don't think the joke is funny, you at least get what they're going for, and it's not clearly
Yeah,
something.
It's called satire, which is lost on 95% of humanity.
And especially a new emerging group of people. I hate to shake my Gen X cane again, but it's just like... Did we go through some kind of censorship war that we understand that it's always a bad idea to start telling people what's right and wrong to say for free on the internet?
What I hate is when this was happening, there were people sort of defending Colbert, and there were so many people being like, "Oh, you're white, you don't get to talk about this." No, everybody gets to talk about it. Right?
It just doesn't like, and also comedy doesn't suffer any discussion at all, and it doesn't like, and how much comedy are how much brilliant fucking sophisticated comedy is going to come out of these arbiters of comedy? Like these are the most joyless fucking people in the world. What are they going to replace bad jokes with? They're not going to replace them with good ones.
No.
They're not, or like Sudoku? What are we going to... Because they don't seem like bright people to me. It doesn't seem like if you can't... If
the
you
Japanese,
don't understand... I understand not...
You guys caught that too, right?
I understand if you...
Japanese.
I understand if you get a... I wish there was a way to describe this, like an the ironic racial humor, where it's like, oh, I'm using the boomerang the wrong way on purpose, blah blah blah, like racially. The
boomerang? Is this about
the Aussies have gone down too?
Yeah,
you're gonna just take every race down.
We're all beacons of light, but some are less bright than others.
But it honestly, the charge seems to be led by people who actually, we're not even talking about the greatest jokes in the world, and then we're talking about people who actually don't seem to get them.
Yes, exactly.
Like who actually parse language in a joke word for word, and like a spell check, like see a word that they then connect a dot to offensiveness with, and then categorize the joke as therefore offensive, actually not getting the joke. And I'm not saying, so we're used to saying, oh, if you don't get the joke, then and that means that the joke is so much more sophisticated than you. Now we're talking about knock-knock jokes that people aren't getting because they involve race. It's like, knock-knock, who's there? Black guy who? Hey, I'm sorry I'm late because that black people time stereotype.
Woo! Cancel Dan Harmon.
That's a bad, dumb, unsophisticated joke. Just let them stop getting laughs. They're really not hurting anybody. It's not, and this idea that the television is going to somehow we're going to control television and make ourselves less racist because then the things that we watch on the magic box won't make us racist anymore. This is just all these racist people are just going to go outside and make the outdoors racist. If there's nothing racist. Racist to watch on TV anymore. They're just gonna. I mean, isn't the problem that your neighbor is secretly racist and he's just like watching Big Bang Theory and going, "Yeah, I got that. I hate Jews." I mean, don't you want that guy glued to the tube? Yeah. Like, do you want him in the woods?
Yeah. You don't want him out there buying crosses and matches.
And isn't there actual racism happening somewhere?
Yeah.
Real racism, like actual ethnic cleansing, where someone goes up to a race and says, "Me no like your race because your race bad." And me want to
again,
eliminate.
Dan,
very problematic.
Dan. Japanese, Australian.
I was
now the Chinese. What was it? Is anybody saying
that was a caveman, not an Asian?
Wow.
You guys are racist.
Again.
Oh,
I can't be racist.
Mia, he wants to go kill a bear. Long time.
See now, okay, so there you go. There's the we're in this realm where we're trading like pogs, like examples of socially
non-conscientious. I think it's racist to assume that cavemen can't be Chinese.
That's right.
Why can't there be Chinese cavemen? I'm sure there were.
I don't know.
No?
If they were, didn't sound like that.
You mean they didn't speak English with a Chinese accent?
Like somebody told them, like, you guys have to do this
all
Chinese
right.
thing. I'm sorry,
Kumail, and I don't want you to think about the consequences. I'm gonna give you a suggestion, and I want you just to do it without considering the fallout.
This is the end of my career.
Yes. What would a Chinese caveman sound like?
I think you did that great.
See? We're both racist.
There was a movie.
But I can be racist. I'm allowed to
no,
be
you
racist.
No, you've proven that time and again.
Yeah.
Yes.
I make it look good, you know. Sorry.
It's more allowed. People that qualify as minority are allowed to be little bit more...
No, I don't. I mean, it's... Listen, Pakistani people are very, very racist. They really, which is a racist thing to say. I can't.
Yeah, but white people are born racist.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not saying this to be glib. I have a friend who's Assyrian, and his like what you would call like your Polack jokes. Theirs are a certain like neighboring country, and I forget what it is. And that country's Polack joke is the Turkish. So like you just supplant.
Everybody's shitting on it. Somebody else.
So it's like and the worst premise of all time is like, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles. I didn't know any Polish people. If they were Polish, they were a fifth Polish. You know, but it's still on the playground. Polish jokes had traction for some reason. Which
we had our version of Polish jokes. It was
who is it?
We call them Pathan, but it's basically the ethnicity that sort of lives in Afghanistan and the area of Pakistan bordering Afghanistan.
And they're called what?
We call them Pathan.
So what's a Pathan joke?
It would be like, how does a Pathan tie his shoelaces? And it would be that, you know, that thing or... What? Well, okay, it's a visual joke.
Make it podcast friendly.
He lifted his shoe halfway and then reached down. Because you're supposed to sit...
Yeah, he puts one shoe up in a chair and then reaches down to the other foot, but he can't reach it because he's a baton, a dirty, dirty, famously unintelligent culture.
Pass the baton.
Baton sounds like a Star Wars creature that you would like ride around.
Yeah, I was too cold, so I killed a baton and crawled inside of it.
What are those things called?
Tauntauns.
Wontons? Tauntauns.
Yeah. Wontons. We can't get away from this.
Hashtag cancel Harmontown.
I'd rather sleep in a giant wonton than a filthy baton. I thought they smelled bad on the outside. Your groans are too late. You should have groaned at the beginning of this show.
You should have groaned at Empire Strikes Back, I guess. I don't know.
Smell bad on the outside. I mean, that was the perfect joke for that situation.
Yeah. But I do. I want to.
Racist.
We'll end this segment, which I'll call Let's Talk About Race Again, on a positive note. I really do think it's like, I don't want to be just knee-jerk and say like, oh, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell people what to say, blah, blah. Slippery slope. You'll find out for yourself. I'm 41. You can have this planet, fuck off. But you know, but you'll find out on your own, kids. But also, I think like if you want to clean up the planet, like and even if you just want to clean up comedy, that's fucking good. But that's called being a comedy snob. First thing you better do is go watch Four Seasons of Mr. Show, and then you should like, I don't know, read some books that make you laugh, or like watch all the Woody Allen movies. I don't know, like become a student of fucking comedy. Become a millennial Sid Caesar and start telling people which jokes are funny and which ones aren't, and let the whole, you know, the crutch that is racial comedy, the hot button, you know, because if I had one leg and I came out on stage and I said, I gotta know what you guys are thinking, something about my one leg, and they're like, I would learn as a one-legged comic I would have the choice of like, there would be a temptation to go to that well, and whether you belong to the minority in question or not, like racial comedy has a kind of like, you know, it gets a reaction out of people because it's on our minds and stuff like that. And there's intelligent racial comedy, and there's lowbrow racial comedy, and there's downright racist racial comedy, and there's everything in between. But if you want to police comedy, like, great, like here's your lightsaber, here's your robe, like here's your blast shield, like what, you just took your first step into a world where you're not going to get a lot of jokes for a while, like you gotta, because if you're starting your comedy analyzation career being so dumb that you think that shows should be canceled and it can be on Twitter, then I bet you're going to find out that you don't want your jokes to be too much smarter.
But how does, like, where does that, if somebody writes, like, canceled this, like, who started that thing? Like,
well, the one for, you started it?
a gal in the front row raised her hand.
I think for the Colbert, it was a lady.
Sweet Park. She's a Korean-American woman, and she started it satirically. Like,
no, she didn't. I read an article that she wrote today, right? Yeah, she is not being...
Or a different girl.
Sweet Park. She's not being...
Can you not tell them apart?
For the record, Adam Goldberg, also racist. Yeah.
But accusing others of racism. But this is we all fall apart, which is a good thing. Let's fall apart. Let's deconstruct. Let's be interested in each other and like, what makes us laugh and what's appropriate.
Just the way the internet works, and everybody wants as many retweets and likes, and you know, like all, like they want as much feedback as possible. Like it's possible. Just people just do things that are clearly going to create energy.
Yeah. And,
yeah,
that's exactly it. Yes.
Yeah, and so they're not really taking any bold stance. They're just
well,
doing
no, that's the, yeah, that's the yeah. thing. That's it's the outrageous also, thing. No yeah. one's doing anything. No
they're
one
not
does
creating
anything,
anything. They're just attacking stuff that other people are doing. You're not really doing anything constructive. But the thing I read didn't make it seem like she did it as a satirical thing. She seemed very serious about it.
I stopped unfollowing her. I unfollowed her yesterday because like she started getting a little bit. Like racist in a different way. It's like a whole different like Native American thing.
What?
But yeah, she said. Yeah, no, because the original joke is about Native.
Yeah, it was. It was about Native Americans.
Yeah, and she's like, I help like indigenous people like this, and like instead of saying like, yeah, I did take attention away from that. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
But,
all right.
Yeah, she was saying like this was satirical, and also like Colbert is a millionaire white dude. He'll be fine. She's saying like. Hundreds of, like, per hour, she's getting hundreds of, like, rape and death threats.
Okay, that is wrong. She shouldn't be getting rape and death threats, but she did sort of start this thing. No, I'm not saying she asked for it. I'm not. Oh, God. That's the end of the segment. Thank you.
This show brought to you by Chinese Caveman.
Yeah, I can't be racist, but misogyny, that goes well with this color.
All right.
I wish there was some kind of like machine that could actually measure genuine offensiveness. You know, like actual offense that a person is actually taking. Like because it we have it's become an exercise. Dino Stamatopoulos said that like society obviously peaked with the invention of dessert and that we were because we were now there was a part of your meal that you were just like, I'm not hungry anymore, but
now, let's eat the thing that is worst for me.
And I think the dessert of culture is has become. I mean, our culture, parts of the world where parts of our country, fuck it, where there is actual racism going on. But like we sitting in our chairs at our laptops, tweeting and hashtagging. This is intellectual dessert, talking about what's offensive to someone else and what it's not. I wish there was a way to actually get out a yardstick and really measure like genuine offense.
Yeah, like you be like, hey, listen, you're only a two on.
And
this,
I wish there was a different word for P's and Q's like violations that were technical violations,
yeah.
Party fouls, if you will. Is there some kind of word for something that absolutely isn't even coming close to hurting anybody in any way, and yet, you know, could be a valid topic of conversation if we want to be such high-minded comedy snobs and talk about what's proper comedy and not. Because that's the other thing is like well, I mean, a woman who's being tweeted hundreds of thousands of rape and death threats, that sounds possibly distorted. Like I can't even picture 100,000 rape and death threats like scrolling through them. But I'm certain that there's a lot of idiots in the world that react that are having the same unease that I'm feeling, but are really terrible people and who are like then want to go like, I want to hit you in the face with a rock because you're a bad person and I'm a bad person, all this terrible shit. Like it is offensive for somebody to like tweet at you that they're going to murder you or sexually assault you, yeah, to humble you and put you back in your place.
People think I created Teen Wolf and I'm getting rape and death threats.
People like that show, by the way. A lot of people really like Teen Wolf. Congrats, buddy.
I'm sure it's a great show. If I go by the vitriolic praise and the superlative praise and the vitriolic hate that I get as a wrong person, and now I've changed my bio on Twitter, I did not create Teen Wolf. Now that people click on that, I don't know how that came to be. But it's really
I just think it should be canceled. I think the 10:30 Monday night slot should be cleared of racist television. Let Rick and Morty stand.
Dan,
for...
can I come clean a little bit?
Yeah.
I actually did create Teen Wolf.
You finally figured out a way to get my attention.
And I, you have my guarantee as a creator of a television show that you love and adore that there will be no pitons on it. No Chinese cavemen. I'm a racist.
I want to be a pitan. It sounds so sci-fi. I like it.
Give me one more baton joke.
The baton people will not be denied their destiny.
That it takes 10 of them to change a light bulb. It'll be like, you know, like a Polish joke. Like, how does a baton... Oh, no. I'm doing the joke.
Kumail just pulled out a notebook. a standard comedian's leather-bound joke book.
Off the top of my head. Let me look. I've been doing this shit for years. It's bombing. Yeah. Nobody knows what batons are here.
It's under P.
This is the baton notebook. Okay. It's all. No, it will be like, you know that joke, how does a baton turn pages? It will be like,
I don't have the manual dexterity for it. Like the...
He's licking one finger as if in preparation to turn a page, while his other hand deftly turns the pages. Yeah. Sans licked finger.
That's
like Mork from Mork.
But that's interesting because that also, and I forget which Marx Brothers film. I think it's Harpo or Chico. Harpo Marx is dealing bridge.
Patano.
And he licks. He has the deck in his left hand, and he licks his right thumb. It just deals with his left hand.
Uh huh.
And it keeps doing that. Like, there's a way to be high status in that joke, and a way to be low status in that joke.
Yeah. So this is it's just the standard.
But then also, for any of you old enough to have been around when Dan Quayle was vice president, he inherited all Polish jokes. Right. Anybody?
Well, he wrote a lot of new ones.
Is he's Polish?
No. Give the Polish people a break. We found an actual.
We found an avatar.
Found a person who actually walks around with a car door so that if it gets hot, he can roll the window down. And he's our vice president.
Is it true that Dan Quayle once tried to spray graffiti on a chain link fence? Is that true?
Yes.
It
was a chain link fence he erected with his own hammer and nails. And I saw him throwing several of the nails away. He kept looking at them. And I said, "Why are you throwing some of the nails away?" And he said, "The point is facing the wrong side."
Yeah, the head's on the wrong side.
Please cross reference the earlier Harmon Town where Dan can't tell a joke.
I don't know how to tell a joke.
Is that right?
Have you heard the part where Dan tries to tell the duck joke?
I can't tell jokes either. I can't do street jokes. What's the duck joke?
Oh, I'll tell you. There's a guy walks... Okay.
Dan Harmon can't tell jokes.
I have the same problem.
All right, there's a guy that walks
into... Dan, before you start... Hang on. I'm not trying to ice you like a field goal kicker right now. Kumail, for those of you that are coming in late to this party, you've told this joke a bunch of times. I want you to non-ironically tell it as straight and as simple.
I'm going to.
Yeah, okay.
Do a joke. Just tell us the joke.
Yeah, take it right across the goal line. Yeah. Dan Harmon now presents the duck joke.
Okay, so this guy goes to a whorehouse, and he goes to the the matron of the, and he wants a whore for money, and he says, I only have a dollar, but is that enough and for a whore and God damn it, you're distracting me with your
We'll be right back. For more, Dan Harmon tells the duck joke.
There's details.
And she goes, the person says, the owner of the whorehouse says,
matron.
The matron says, for a dollar, you get a duck. You get this duck. Okay? That's all you get. And he goes, okay. And he takes it upstairs. And he comes back down later, and with the duck, and he gives the duck back, and he says, "I had a wonderful time. That was great duck. That was a great duck sex session." And he leaves, and he may mutter something about, "Man, I got to come back," because then he does the next day. It doesn't matter that he said, but
there's
he comes,
so much unnecessary detail.
I know, but he he does. He comes
and now.
Back.
The shocking conclusion of Dan Harmon tells the doctor.
So he comes back the next day, and he's got his dollar. He's all excited. He's like, yeah, I didn't even bother to bring more because
when I say conclusion, I mean the conclusion.
And he goes like, "I'll have the duck, please." And she gives him the duck. I fucked one thing up. He didn't give her a dollar yet. He just came.
He just did that.
He just came bounding in and said like, "I'll have the duck, please." And the matron gives him the duck. He goes upstairs.
Matron.
He comes back down. She says, "That'll be $7." And he goes, $7? It only cost a dollar yesterday. And the prostitute matron says, "Yesterday's duck, fuck, goddamn it."
It feels
wait,
like...
Wait, 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 wait. Shit. Wait, fuck. Hold on.
This is excruciating.
It feels like you're coming up with the joke as you're telling it and also learning the English language.
He comes down, he gives back the duck, and she says, "That'll be $7. And he says, this guy
writes TV comedy for a living.
He said, okay, I figured out how to word it. He says, okay. He hands the duck back, and he says, "Here's the duck back." And
wait,
she
why
says,
did he give the duck back? Because this is the next
Camille,
day.
Camille.
He doesn't have the duck yet.
What do you mean? He took it upstairs. He had sex with it.
The second day?
Yeah, yeah.
He paid $7. He paid the $7.
No, he didn't pay the $7. He's coming down with it. It's pay afterward.
Okay. It's one of those pay afterward whorehouses. Yeah. Go ahead.
So he gives the duck back.
The whole prostitution industry is based on trust. So
there's only one door to the whorehouse, and it's a small town, and it's not worth it. Like to try to, you'll be blacklisted from.
No.
Like
not me.
The if, matrons talk yeah. to each other. There's
if the, yeah. If the whores don't have trust, what do they have?
Yeah. This is a time. This is a region of the country and a time in our history when prostitution isn't like it's not respectful to women, but it's also not like as like this, frowned upon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As an industry, and therefore there is
Day
more
seven.
Oversight.
Okay, so
he brings the duck down. On the second day, this is he went upstairs with it. He brings it down. He gives it to the woman.
This is only the second day.
No. There's
exactly,
only 2 days.
I'm with you.
He gives
Ignore
it back,
him.
And she says, "That'll be $7." And he says, "That's 7 times as much as yesterday's duck." And she says, "That duck didn't have AIDS."
Wait. Yeah. That was Dan Harmon tells the duck joke. A Worth the Wait production.
You should have said, "This duck doesn't
have AIDS." No, but why is it more expensive then?
Because it doesn't have AIDS.
Oh, right.
You don't want to fuck the AIDS duck.
Right.
You don't want to fuck the AIDS duck.
Wait, no, so he says, this duck. I had her say that duck.
Okay. The joke yeah, goes like this. A guy goes to her house.
Okay, so the guy goes, "That duck didn't have AIDS. It was so cheap." No, and she goes, this duck doesn't have AIDS. He's like, okay, I get it.
A guy goes to her house. He says, "All I have is a dollar. What can I get? You can't get much." And she hands him a duck. And he goes, "A duck?" And she goes, "That's all you get for a dollar." He goes upstairs. He comes back down. He goes, "You know what? Not bad." He comes back the next day. And he says, "I'll take the duck again." So he goes up, fucks the duck, comes back down. And she goes, "That'll be $5. And he goes, $5? It was a dollar yesterday." He goes, "Yeah, but this duck doesn't have AIDS."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You're good at something silly.
creating mirth.
No, just so you know.
But it's funny. You can't tell a joke. Jay Johnston and Dino Stamatopoulos, three of the funniest people I know, cannot tell jokes.
Does it help that in my head the whole time all the characters were Asian in this joke? What does that say about me?
Racist.
No, they weren't like stereotypical Asian.
But you're saying that you're not good at telling the straight jokes as well?
No, I can't do. I think I'm doing a good job, but at the end, nobody laughs. And I just, then I have to like up
it. I'd say like the most nervous I think I ever get in the year is telling a joke. And even doing that just now, which the joke I know.
That was great. It's nerve-wracking.
It raises, like my heart rate goes up. My left hand starts to
Because if you say
tingle.
One wrong thing, you can that's the thing that fucks me up. Like I end up like off-roading because I'm like, I'm trying not to drive wrong. I'm like I get really nervous.
But you get bogged down in miscellaneous and extraneous detail.
Well, because I'm too...
My favorite part, I have to say, is when you say, when the guy comes in for the first time and he says, I want to buy a whore for money. I think the for money detail was probably...
Fine. Well, I wasn't... Yeah.
Also, matron, I liked. Matron.
Matron was good. That was a great detail.
Did you mean madam?
Yeah, yes, I meant madam.
But you're... I think you're... Like there's like karaoke. I do karaoke because karaoke makes me nervous. I could go on stage like nude at the Hollywood Bowl, and I don't think I'd be that nervous. Karaoke gets me I can't stand.
But you're really great at karaoke.
Well, I can sing, but I'm not one of those people that can get up there and like perform with
vamp
with a free hand like flying around. I hold the mic with both hands.
No, you're really good at it though.
Well, I can sing, but like I don't feel comfortable up on stage doing karaoke for some reason.
Yeah, I don't do karaoke. I'm not good at it. I can't do it. But like stand-up, I do. And I tell jokes, but only if it's jokes I've written. I can't do other people's songs or
tell
anything.
Somebody else's joke. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, there's called, a guy, he goes to the whorehouse, and there's only one door in the whorehouse. The matron who's there. And they say matron because the English is not their first language. So they're learning English as they're performing this transaction. I also love when he came back the next day and he did the whole thing. $7, that's too much. Oh, wait, no, okay. Forget that. He just takes the duck. He just takes the duck. And then he comes down.
Right,
and then it's $7. I mean, that joke... telling had so many gifts to give.
Although, even with our interruptions and interjections, you told that joke half as long as you did the last time you told it.
Yeah, there was a guy on the Harmontown tour who had a T-shirt that he had made it's filled with text that it's me trying to tell the duck joke and that upset him. It's pretty great. All right, let's do our medical corner. Medical corner. Okay. All right. You know, we haven't seen in a long, long time and haven't checked in on him, and he has a dramatic update. Our good friend Seek Donnelly.
All right.
Seek, for those who don't know, is a multiple aneurysm survivor who we established last time. He, because of his strange condition, his proclivity for something that is catastrophic to anyone when it occurs randomly, he has a proclivity for aneurysms. And he was these doctors like were... cutting you a deal where they said, well, because that's so weird, we'll give you free kind of treatment, but it's for our purposes. It's for our studying and stuff like that. And you've got your own neurologist as well. But you were just telling me in the green room, do you want to take it from there? And
Well, sure. Yeah. So one of the things I lost that I think I said on previous shows was my visual memory. And so what that does is it cuts down on my short-term memory a lot, and it also makes it really hard. I'm an artist, so it makes me really hard to create artwork. So like the pieces I did for Harmontown, where you guys are all Mega Man characters, I actually had nosebleeds trying to create that art. So it's
those are wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I had fun doing an indoor kids one with
you
and Emily.
Thank you.
And so it takes a lot out of me to create things. But I don't like being told I can't do stuff. So these doctors that I've been seeing for a couple years now, they I had another coiling procedure done in November, and since then they've kind of laid off some of the tests they normally do on me. And in that time period where it was a long period, a longer period than I usually have between tests, I started, I thought, having some visual sense coming back. So I had a dream one night, and I haven't had a dream in a long time. And so
haven't had a dream in a long time.
That's not how you sound. Jeff, stop doing that. I'm just saying
he's stealing from Morrissey right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who?
Visual memory.
What is
visual
coiling? Memory. What is coiling?
Coiling is a procedure though where they it depends on where they feel the best is, but sometimes they go up in your inner thigh and they run a catheter up your entire body.
What? That's the fastest way to get there?
No, it's not the fast, but it's it's one of the options. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're like, either we could start up here or we could do the thigh.
We do the thigh. No, that was my option. So I did that.
So they're writing up like an artery or a vein or something like that, or
yeah, and then they go straight up.
Good heavens.
And then they put these like coils into like kind of clip and direct. Like, you know, the aneurysms, like in case, to drain them sometimes too. So they'll put them in and like hold them in place and all that. So since I have multiple ones like keep growing, they have to do this procedure, you know, more often than they.
So if a new one comes up, they go in and take care of it.
Yeah,
with these coils.
I think the last two times I didn't get one at a time. I got like two or three. So the last time I went in, I got 14 coils put in.
And then they stay there?
Yeah, I mean for a while. Over time, some of them dissolve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they ran these tests. So I had this dream, and then I was trying to explain the dream, and they were like, "Well, because I have trouble saying things visually, I was having trouble explaining the dream, but I knew I had one." So then they're like, "Oh, it's probably nothing, you know, whatever." So I said, "Okay." So then, like a week or two later, I could have sworn I had another dream, and then I said, "Okay, now I'm starting to connect a really major dot here." After my aneurysm, there was a time when I was like writing and stuff again that I would draw, like doodle a little bit. And then since then, I've been under this program, and that whole time it's been really hard for me to draw. And I felt neutered by the medication and the stuff they've been doing to me. I felt like it was stopping me from creating. So I basically told them, "Hey, look, before we run any more tests, I'd like some time off to see if I have more dreams, if I get more visual sense." And then so what ended up happening in that time off was I sculpted something. I started writing a song. I started painting, and I'm still having trouble with the visual sense. It's still hard for me to do these things. But the neat thing is that, or not the song so much, but the neat thing is that I'm conquering it. Like I'm beating, I think, whatever this wall was that I was hitting. So recently, I told those doctors, like, "Hey, I appreciate all the help, but I want out of this program." And they're like, "Well, we advise against that because, you know, because they paid for a lot of my medical treatment." They're like, "You know, you make no money at all." and even less than a normal artist because none of my stuff sells and it's all for charity. So
that's a terrible business plan.
Yeah.
I'm not making money. I'm donating all of it.
Well, it's funny that my last two jobs have been marketing jobs, and I'm like, I don't know how to pay my own bills. Why are you hiring me to pay your bills? So I just like creating, and that's I feel like that's my purpose. So I've made the decision, well, even if this kills me not having you doctors around, I want to create this project. So I started this project that was inspired by Harmontown, because this is the only – I listen to this podcast religiously. I heard every episode like 10 or 20 times, and I feel like this is my family. This is my home. These are people who understand me, who don't judge me in a negative way. And so, and who also helped me create art, like create those prints for you guys. And so I wanted to, you know, do a big love letter to that and the type of people we have come up here, like Jane, you know, who, our Earthshine friend who, you know, who's, he has some Earthshine kit, follow him on Twitter. He'll tell you about it. And then we have like Levi, and you have these people who are really great people, and they are in search for an identity. And I feel like that's what I'm in search for, because my memories of childhood are gone. You know, like I remember like up to about 6-7 years ago.
Really?
And then,
is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah.
You don't have any memories of when you were a kid?
I have some knowledge of them, but most of them are gone. So like,
you, when you say there's no visual memory, you can't picture your elementary school. You can't.
No. Or my mom.
Or child. Really?
Yeah. So that's why me and my mom have such a weird relationship now, is because she always says, don't you remember when you did this? Don't you remember that? And I it breaks my heart every time to tell her that I don't, because then I see the look on her face.
Do you feel that now that it's kind of trickling back in, like your visual sense, that maybe memories might come?
I'm hoping, and that's why I want to explore it. And like I said, it's if anything's worth dying for, it's to find out who you are. You know, so I said, well, I have my one neurologist, but everyone else, I'm like, you can all go away. Like, let me explore this. Let me see how deep this pool is.
That's amazing. And were they balking at it because they saw you as an investment for their own research? They put a lot of effort and money into you?
There's that, but then there's also, like, they do care for my well-being. They're doctors. You know, they're trying to make me a better me, obviously, but I don't want the help now. I want to find out who Seek is, and I want to find out what kind of artist he is. So, you know, I heard you talk to Katie at South by Southwest, and she said, oh, I'm trying to figure out what kind of artist I am. I want to paint, I want to draw, I want to, you know, create music. And you're like, do them all. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to do them all too. And so I'm releasing a book called Elan Vital, which is French for vital force. And it's a book about the first robot that gets a soul. And in order to prove that he has a soul, he creates a bunch of different art styles. And so I'm creating the art styles like as the robot, obviously. And so every page is a different art style. So I do purism, surrealism. I do sculpting. You know, I teach. I choreograph a dance. Like I'm literally doing every art style I can think of and putting it all in one book as a big love letter to art, but also a big love letter to the people that inspired it, which is pretty much everyone that's ever heard or listened to or come to this show, and you guys, obviously.
That's amazing. But there's this sobering, chilling edge to the whole thing where you're gambling like you know this thing that we all sometimes take for granted but also are imprisoned by, which is like your well-being. You already have to deal with that being at risk all the time, and you've now made this decision that these guys that put coils up there and build levees and things and stuff, you're associating their tests and treatments and things with a mitigation of your true self, and so you're just gonna, like the guy in Into the Wild, kind of like you're gonna go off and do the Alaska of not getting these coils anymore, and there could be poison berries or there could be amazing buses that you get to live in.
I haven't seen that movie. Is that what happens?
yeah. But it's the story of a guy who's just kind of like he does it wrong, but he gets to live his life, and then he does die in the end.
Oh, Into the Wild.
But because you're crediting Harmontown with the inspiration for this decision, which I don't know if I would ever have the courage to make myself, I want to make sure that I've had an equal shot at inspiring you to make the other decision too.
No,
you know, do you have a neurologist in your life? You've got these crazy sci-fi scientists in your life. Do you have a counselor of some kind in your life, somebody that you can talk to about this gigantic decision that's maybe a little more qualified than me?
I mean, not currently. I had right when after I had my the first aneurysm rupture, I met with a psychologist and we talked out, you know, stuff. And I know you guys were talking about that last week. So it was really cool to have someone to talk to. But I also suffer, like I said, some emotional damage from where the rupture happened. So I'm also like the most robotic person to talk to at times. Like I feel happy and stuff and I get that. And then there are times where I feel sad, but in the middle there, it's like, that's where it gets weird. So that's why I wanted to write a book about a robot, because I'm like, you have people up here that identify when they're men, they identify as women, and women who identify as men and vice versa. But I identify as not human, if that makes any sense. But I love humanity. Like I want to be a part of humanity so much that I'm willing to cut that tether, because I think that's what's going to make me rejoin humanity. That's what's going to make me feel the most human if I do die. And I don't know. I mean, I've been told twice now that, oh, you got this much time to live, and I'm still here 4 years later, and I feel like I'm doing okay. Like I'm walking, I'm talking pretty good. So I mean, I'm not saying doctors don't know anything. I have utmost respect for doctors are the reason I'm here. But I think I have to just trust myself for once. And no, I have given it a lot of thought, and I've talked it out with a lot of friends, but ultimately it's my decision, and I'm going to stand by it. I think it's the right one.
Absolutely. Of course. Yeah, we stand by you. You're our friend. Thank you so much for...
When you say you don't have, like, the memories, is it like you do stuff and then sometimes you don't remember you've done it?
Lately it's been happening a lot more.
So there's a chance you might not remember Dan's retelling of the duck joke?
Can I tell my favorite joke?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
All right, it's real quick. I hate traveling. I think it's because my dad used to beat me with a globe.
You see, Dan?
Yeah, well. Thank you, Steve.
Right. Good seeing you.
Thanks so much.
If I can plug it real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
The book I was talking about, Alain Vital, the Kickstarter starts tomorrow, and I'm looking to raise $5,000 to make a limited 500 print run of it.
Cool.
So if anyone out there would like to donate, I would appreciate it.
Is it Alain, like A-L-A-I-N?
E-L-A-N.
Oh,
Elon. Elon, yeah. Cool. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
Holy smoke.
That guy has to actually deal with one of the most offensive things in the world, which is our relationship with an unforgiving, unpredictable God. That's, hashtag cancel humanity.
Cancel God.
Does anyone cancel God? Racist.
That's why. Yeah, your problem with a joke on Colbert.
Yeah,
I mean, the ice caps are melting, you dicks.
Does anybody else in the room have? I don't know if it's sympathetic or empathetic pain, where somebody describes an injury or an illness or whatever that you feel physically. The thing, like, I have this thing where he talks about brain aneurysm, and my just head starts hurting like crazy. Or someone says I had a friend that had a hernia like operation, and my abdomen started hurting. I don't know if anyone else has that, but it's like he's up there and my head just starts. I don't get headaches. My head just starts pounding during that. I don't know if I'm alone. Yeah. Applause. How many people have that? Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, it's like if someone like has a knee injury, it's like, oh god damn it! Like if his knee starts aching.
I can watch his YouTube video.
Oh yeah, I can't watch shows where people get hurt, like Tosh or whatever, and it's like there's people getting wrecked.
I like the idea of someone who's like that, but has a terrible knowledge of anatomy. So like the wrong parts of their my appendix hurts. My foot.
Is that a Patan joke?
You know it, buddy. You're catching on.
Patan.
Is Duncan back there? Did he ever show up? Is he
almost? Oh, okay.
Almost. No.
Well, why don't we bring Spencer up?
Bounding.
I'm just sending off a text. Hold on. Okay.
Spencer, you said a very strange thing in the green room.
Suck my dick. I mean, that's not very strange, out of place, sure.
You said you often think about how much you would enjoy fighting a pack of coyote.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have follow-up questions.
Also, you live in L.A. You can make this dream come true.
Oh, I know.
Well, all you have to do is have a cat or a poodle.
Yeah.
I used to live in Moore Park, which was kind of like a farming town. What? And
did somebody just woot for Moore Park?
No, nobody's ever done that.
Yeah, no. Seriously, check it. Look it up on Urban Dictionary. It has an entry. But there's a lot of farmland and stuff, and you can go out, and sometimes we go out hiking just in the fields and stuff at night, and you'd be able to hear coyotes, or even just not hiking, like in my bed, I'd be able to hear coyotes like all the time, and you'd hear a lot of them, but like when we'd go on night hikes, sometimes they'd sound really close, and you'd be like, holy shit, Sounds like six or seven.
I'd love
I'll
to
probably
fight.
Be fine.
Now, when you picture yourself fighting a pack of coyotes, is it barehanded? Or do you have a weapon of some sort?
Barehanded. I mean, the only thing I could ever imagine is like having a bag with me, like a backpack that I'm hiking with, because right. It's hiking. So I'd like, you know, maybe swing, heft a bag around. But yeah, mostly bare hand.
Do you think you could take a pack of coyotes?
I mean, how big we talking, Kumail? Well, how big of a pack?
Six or seven?
Yeah, definitely.
I kind of feel like they're very cowardly scavengers. I mean, they're...
Oh, I'm talking about enraged, like, pissed off, like, coyotes. I don't know what's supposed to happen here.
Traveling down the roads of Moorpark, you stop when you hear a rustling. The red gleaming eyes from the bushes are all the information you need to realize what's upon you. A pack of slightly timid coyote.
So you have initiative.
You can take six or seven coyotes.
Spencer, I can say this just by looking at you. You are never flat-footed against coyote.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a bonus I earned.
I think he could do it, but not because if the six coyote actually is the plural coyote.
I don't care.
Coyotes.
I think it's coyote.
Coyotes.
Coyotes.
Coyotes. Interruptus.
Coyotai.
Coyotes.
What are you? Yosemite Sam. Coyotes.
I think that if all six of them had like a rage virus that made or whatever that made them like physically endeavor as a unit of six coyote, I think my dog could take me out. Like I
what?
I
could take your dog.
No way, man. My dog. I mean these.
The thing about dogs is like all it takes is one blow to the throat. I mean, sure. So you got to throw out your left arm, not your good arm, your left arm as a sacrifice. But once it's clamped on, it's just a quick knee in the throat and you're done.
Wait, but Rottweilers and those guys like pit bulls kill people all the time.
Yeah, I hear a lot about people getting attacked, and you literally never hear them going for the throat ever.
Well, because the stories aren't gonna be like the guy went for the throat and it didn't work because he didn't live to tell the tale, Spencer.
You hear about the flailing they do and that they hit it on the top of the head or they try and unwedge the jaw. That's not what you do. You just go for the throat. If they can't breathe, they're not gonna be biting you.
Where did you read this? Where is this information coming from?
This is holistic knowledge I've gleaned in my
journal do you
life.
Subscribe to?
Yeah, it's a dog throat attack monthly.
I've been
Harvard Medical Coyote Edition.
I'm just saying. I mean, have you guys seen coyotes?
No, I grew up in...
Yeah, they're mangy.
They're like maybe twice the size of a house cat. They're not huge.
They're mangy-looking, skinny things.
I don't think they really... I've never seen them in really what I call packs. I've seen them like travel around and would look like small nuclear families. Like you see like mom and pop and maybe a kid.
Yeah, that's probably more likely.
And also, they're terrified of us.
Yeah, but I mean, again, we're talking about... That's out of the equation here.
So you're saying these are special coyotes?
I mean, they're just not gonna be super timid. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He just wants to fight them. So if they're timid, they're gonna run away.
Yeah,
he wants
that's
to
not
have,
that's
but
not
you
a
wouldn't,
fight.
You wouldn't want to fight a wolf because a wolf will kick.
No,
your ass.
No, sure. I mean, I might be able to take one wolf, maybe.
Now,
I don't want.
I say there's only one way to find out.
I don't think.
Let's bring out our wolf.
Spencer, we have great news.
Spencer, do you think you could take a pit bull or a Rottweiler?
I don't because, I mean, honestly, if you're talking like a coyote versus a pit bull... Like,
well, I mean, that's a crazy huge difference.
That's what I'm saying. It's like there's a lot of dogs that I'd feel more confident, you know, fighting against. Rottweilers and pit bulls probably aren't up there. I mean...
What about 80 Shih Tzu?
Yeah, see, this is the whole thing. You can when they're small enough, and I think you could pull this off with a coyote, all you have to do is spin around kicking.
That's not easy to do.
It's very easy to
do. This is a Street Fighter. It's not down back kick.
It is quite literally down back kick.
Spencer,
you just spin down and backwards while kicking.
How? I mean, show us, please.
If somebody doesn't Instagram this right now, I'm going to kill all of us.
It is such a bummer that this is an audio podcast.
God damn it.
Because that is one of the best things I've ever seen.
Spencer did something between Jean-Claude Van Damme and Baryshnikov.
Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah. I don't see any of those kicks doing major damage.
No, but you keep knocking them back. You just got to keep going.
Spencer, yeah, but you know, they would get you on the ground.
I mean, not shih tzus.
Well, no, not shih tzus. Okay.
I think
might have been born in the wrong era because there's a great book about the early New York, the Five Points, and they made that terrible movie Gangs of New York about it. But Luke Sante wrote a book called Low Life, and someone likes that movie. You're the person that wooed it at Moore Park. That movie stinks because it's a bad history. Maybe it's a fine movie, but it's not good history. But there's a bunch of things they would like entertainment back in the good old bad days of America. There were things like rat baiting and bear baiting and you know, like and so there was a thing called rat stomping where they would put a guy in a ring like surrounded by like a wooden pen, and they would put like 100 or 200 rats in there. And it was, and you had to stomp them before.
Why?
Because they would come attack you.
No. But what's the? Is it like a sport?
It was. You would bet rat or man.
So these weren't prisoners.
No. This is a bar. This is a bar down okay. What is now the Bowery, like the lower
East Side, yeah,
lower East Side of New York. And there'd be bear baiting, and like so there'd be dogs versus bears, and you would bet money on dogs. Four dogs or bear?
I wouldn't want to watch.
And
that.
So the rat.
Yeah, it's all horrible.
I think that Spencer, like you might have taken to that rat stomping. Business.
Well, you were talking about rat stomping. You know those tiny monkeys that you see at the zoo?
The little tiny black ones.
Like really inches tall.
Yeah, those are adorable.
The first time I saw those, I was just like, man, don't you just want to squish one?
Oh, see now.
Just now, stomp on
now
it.
Now I feel like
Spencer's learning to fly.
We're getting to the heart of the matter here.
Yeah.
So in your coyote fight fetish dreams, are you annihilating them? Are you breaking their necks and like ripping their hearts out? Or
no. I mean, well, you break a couple necks, sure. But not, I mean, just timing
wise.
You
can't fight a pack without breaking a couple.
If you want to make a coyote omelet. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to take it out of the fight, right?
Yeah.
It's important.
I think if fighting a bunch of coyote, I think the first thing you do is you break the biggest one's neck and send a message to the rest of them.
Well, yeah, again, this isn't assuming they're not just going to turn tail and run, obviously. Well, that's the thing. If you were just spin around circles, you kick about half the coyotes, they'd freak out and leave.
Okay, how about you, Spencer?
I will say this. That move you did is a lot less threatening than you think it is.
It's not supposed to be threatening. It's supposed specifically to be efficient. Designed to take on hordes of small dogs.
If I see... If I'm a little dog and I see a guy doing that, I'm like, I got
There's
this.
No way. Also, you know, like, dogs, like a big... Any dog bigger than a Shih Tzu or any canine... Like their objective is to get you down on the ground, yeah. And once that happens, you're in trouble.
Well, again, with coyotes, they're very light. So if you had three or four coyotes on you, just jump right up.
All right, Dan. You can't jump up when these things got you.
Yeah,
like,
buddy.
Like my dog loves me, and sometimes he gets me like at a disadvantage.
What does that mean?
What?
That just sounds dangerous.
Well, I'm just saying, he's just a golden doodle, but he's like a 5 foot child.
But
you
that,
know,
like he can grab me and he would have the body mass of like 6'5" coyotes.
They have mouths full of little .32 caliber bullets.
Literally. Coyotes do.
That's why you throw
dogs.
Up the left arm.
Yeah. They could kill you, man. Sometimes I lay in bed with this guy and I'm rubbing his belly and he's just like, and I look at his teeth and I'm like,
yeah.
This fucker could kill me.
That's what Kuto is. Kuto goes bad.
I have a scar on my ass, on my left butt cheek, like the size of like a shark tooth, like a triangle.
Your butthole.
Is there poop coming out of it? Is it right in the middle?
Yeah. When you push the button and pull the chain, is that where the chocolate choo-choo train comes out? Because that's a butthole.
Everyone has that scar.
It's not a scar. Don't think of it that way. That's fucked up.
Listen, it's not pretty, but that doesn't mean it's a scar.
It's not a wound. It's actually, if anything, it's keeping you alive.
I feel like you guys are making a little too lightly of an actual injury that I had. My neighbors, when I was a kid, we had the O'Sullivans that lived next door, and there was 19 of them because they were Irish Catholic, and racist. No, there were fucking 19 O'Sullivans. And they said, anytime, Bill, Jeff, my brother and I, like, anytime you guys want to come up and take a swim in our pools, we didn't have a pool. Like, anytime you guys want to walk up and have a swim, just make sure that their dog, the two German shepherds, one was named Guinness. I remember his name because I bear the scar on my
I feel
ass.
Like you have, like, you've put racist memories in your childhood. The Irish people's dog was named Guinness?
This is an actual fact.
Okay.
Actually, my brother has a dog named, we had a dog named Guinness because of that too.
The others was Shillelagh.
Shillelagh?
Yeah, one was just called Drinking.
And a parakeet named Famine.
Yeah.
Potato.
Too soon.
I mean, not funny enough. Maybe it's like, I hope you're groaning that was a bad joke.
Not that
I went too far.
I can't stop. I think about him thinking that it's somebody thinking their butthole is a scar, and it's still making me laugh.
I know. Like, I feel like he shut that down too fast.
Yeah,
like,
I thought
you and I were having a good time, just placating him,
like,
about his scar.
Mom, I have bad news. I have a scar, it bleeds, but it's not blood.
Yes, my scar bleeds long brown blood.
You don't know how to make these jokes funny.
I'm trying to help your awesome premise, you guys.
We're doing it. You're literally shitting over our awesome joke. Through your scary butthole.
Sometimes men come over to my apartment and fuck me in my scar.
You're not good at it.
What?
You can't make this one. Okay, go
it's
ahead.
My scar.
That's maybe why you can't make it funny. I don't know.
I'm just trying to help you with your bulletproof premise.
Long brown blood. You've shown us that our premise maybe isn't so bulletproof.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, go ahead. So you're there with the dog's name.
The guy said the dogs would be locked up. We got up there. The dogs were not locked up, and there were two giant German shepherds. And Guinness, of all people, comes running straight at me, and I had like a little bathing suit on, I'm defenseless. I'm barefoot. I can't.
I'm sorry. Long brown blood just got funny to me.
Oh, so gross.
Now.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's like a wrestler for a really, really low caliber wrestling federation. There comes long brown blood. He's going up against Scorpion Scissors.
Oh, long brown blood.
Long brown blood. Go ahead.
So the dog's good. Running at me and my brother, but the dog picks me, the smaller of the two. I think that's good pack animal instincts, is to take the baby out. And I was maybe like six or something like that. And I turned around, thank heavens, because he shot me right where the essentials might have been. And he took a piece out of my ass. It took a big chunk.
That's the other thing. They go for your nuts. That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
They go for your crotch.
Well, because that's dog height.
And it doesn't matter how much throat punching you
well,
do.
Well, no, you kick them right when they're in mid-jump. They can't change direction.
Dude, there's more than one. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, well, they don't all jump at the same time. That'd be silly.
Right, because they don't want to get hurricaned away by your kicks.
Yeah. I trained under Chun Tang.
Your flurry of feet that you have unleashed on this unsuspecting pack.
You saw that flurry of feet.
Yeah, please. I know you don't like doing requests.
Please
but
do
but
it.
I'm the only one that's going to have a video of this. Like, can you get up and demonstrate the
don't like doing requests.
Come on, just I'll do my Sean Connery impression if you do your circle kick.
Just show us the dance again because
we have to have it documented.
I know.
For science more than anything.
I'm going to cry while I do it though.
Okay.
Fine.
All right, do it.
That's how you fight off a pack of dogs.
I sold out.
By the way,
this is the day that the podcast changed me.
I sold out. How pissed would you be if that was the ending to The Gray? That's what he did.
That should be it. That'd be amazing.
That would have been amazing.
Just Liam Neeson.
That's basically how Alice in Wonderland ended, right?
That's why they cut the ending out of The Gray.
He kept teasing that crazy movie that he's got, and then he does it.
Spencer,
it doesn't matter how many of them come at you. I've got a special move I'll use. What's it called? The Mega Neeson. The Whirling Liam. And then they're like, can you show us the Whirling Liam? No.
Dogs have to come at me in a certain... I have to be encircled and they have to come at me one by one. I preferably counterclockwise. Oops.
I spilled water everywhere because I was so intimidated and thrown.
Spencer, I think I speak for all of us when I say we've missed you dearly, man.
No? Okay. All right, well, we can't, you know, Duncan Trussell was threatening to drop in on us, but it's also 9:30, so...
This show doesn't need him.
No, I know, but...
I have tears running down my face. Yeah. I cannot handle it. That was... Have you done that before? Was there a time when you were in your room and you were like, if dogs happen, I think I can do this?
Yeah, are you kidding? Why do you think I had such confidence when I told you it's possible? You don't just go into these situations half-cocked. You prepare.
Yeah. I also think if you're spinning around in a circle, you're going to start, like, you know, getting...
Oh, yeah. That's why, you know, 6 or 7.
No, but you said 80, whatever.
Shih tzus.
What?
Shih tzus.
Yeah. You'd start... But again, at some point, you'd start stomping. You'd save energy. It's self-defense. These are bloodthirsty shih tzus. Yeah, so I could commit violence against animals. What's wrong with that? It's hypothetical.
Yeah. If it helps, these dogs are all racist, so...
And Polish.
And Polish batons.
Baton coyotes.
The doctors.
A Pathan coyote went into a bar, and
he's like this is how a Pathan coyote eats a Shih Tzu. I held the Shih Tzu with my paws, but over to the side.
It's Dan, it's better they don't know.
Deconstructing the Pathan joke formula. It seems like they just have bad spatial.
Yeah.
no depth perception.
That is a big component of the Pathan joke.
A lot of them suffer from an agenesis of the basal callosum or the corpus callosum, and they don't know where things are.
Oh.
Yeah. Fucking Pathan.
Can you do the joke that Sikh did? Which is one line?
Oh, well, my dad...
Oh, God. Oh, dear God.
I think we know
my
the
dad
answer.
Was a globe manufacturer.
Oh, God damn it. Quick disclaimer. Some kid wrote to me on Tumblr. I think it was Tumblr. I want to pull it up. Last week's episode, you know, I was in my cups, as Chevy calls it. I was having fun. When I'm talking about therapy and stuff and how much I don't want to do it and blah, 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 and I'm all self-righteous and indignant and all that stuff, I'm not in role model mode. I never want anybody emulating me or taking anything I say seriously in that regard.
We apparently talked Sikh out of actual help.
Well, yeah, I mean, that he was like, inspired by your show. I'm like, well, don't say that. God damn it. Where's the... I thought it was one of our Tumblr dealies. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I guess I wanted to give the person, give them their own words. But I don't think I can find them, so whatever. It was a kid writing in and saying, you know, I hope that, you know, because they said, I need help from professionals, and I hope that nobody interpreted your screed as, like, being a recommendation against seeking help from others, as professional people and stuff like that. Not only was I being ironic, like, I in the end, like, I self-deprecate and go, like, of course the whole point of this is that I'm crazy. I'm in denial. Nobody needs therapy more than me, and I like to have fun and say... I don't need therapy, and therapists are full of bullshit. I mean, I'm not kidding either. Like, I'm expressing this indignation and like crazy. I'm being a child. I'm sucking my thumb and like having fun. But I don't want any of you kids out there I don't want anybody that thinks that they need to talk to somebody to think that they shouldn't, my God, or that that's a bad choice. That's crazy. That's so crazy, you should see a shrink. Going to a shrink is not going to hurt you at all and could very well help you. And I'm only making fun of myself by saying indignantly that I don't need to go. And I'm 41 and blah, blah, blah. So I hope that that buys back any karma that I may have tainted. All right, back to being funny. Also, races are good. If I said anything and made you think your race is bad,
it's good. It's a good way to know who to trust.
Look, we all have our functions. Germans are—they're like the Swiss Army knife of races.
What are the Swiss?
I call them the German shadow.
What are the Dutch?
The Dutch are the dykes of men.
Seems that's tough but fair. He's tough but fair, you guys.
Blue people are they're black.
El Salvadorans,
they love carrots.
But what are Peruvians famously afraid of?
Mosquitoes. But it's that fear that drives them, you know? It keeps them making bug zappers. Like, that's technically racist to say that Peruvians make great bug zappers, but they do. Wait, El Salvadorians, what did you say?
El Salvador.
They're terrified of mosquitoes. I said it. You go down there. You do mission work like I did.
I help
I work with
people.
Them. I understand them, and when you work with them, you learn to laugh at them. It becomes okay.
Yeah, you were there.
I have carried. I have carried an El Salvador child into the ocean
to drown him,
to show him mosquitoes.
Because they have
ocean mosquitoes.
Well, no, because that country has no extradition policy.
Yeah. Oh my God. There's been such great advice on this.
It's Words to Live By. It should be the title of the podcast. It should be Words to Live By.
No. Yes, or Long Brown Scarpoo.
No, I just mean it shouldn't long be called brown Harmontown. Brown. It should be called, like, Do As I Say and As I Do.
Yeah. We've learned how to fight dogs.
Imitate me. And the logo is just a fork going into an outlet. Just a happy kid staring into a happy sun.
Spencer, when was the first... Is this a thing that you've thought about since you were a kid? Fighting? I really want to parse this.
Yeah,
more.
Like I said, I grew up listening to coyotes like outside my window. And it's like, man, is there going to be a time where they're going to be closer than outside my window? I don't know. I've definitely thought about it. I used to hike a shit ton. Like, again, we lived in like farmlands, and like you'd just go if you got a 1 mile anywhere, you'd be hiking. You know, you wouldn't just be walking on a street. So.
Yeah.
Think about stuff.
I used to fall asleep when I was a little kid in Tustin. There was behind our house was just hills. There was nothing there. Now it's like totally developed, but there was just at night. Just, it was so cool.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Great.
We heard one last year. We live in Los. That time I lived in Silver Lake, and we actually went out to, because Emily is like loves animals, and she was like, there's a dog, it's lost, we gotta go find this. And we went, and it was just a coyote out there. I wish I'd known about the spin kick move.
Yeah. What about that? It's like a big ass mountain lion or a jaguar or some shit that lives up in the Hollywood Hills. Have you seen this shit?
Oh, there's cougars there.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead. Please take that out, Dustin.
Leave it.
And somebody put a motion sensor camera up, but aimed it towards the Hollywood sign. And there's an awesome glamour shot of this giant mountain lion. Or is it a mountain lion?
Yeah.
It's fucking enormous. It's a huge predator that just cross the 134 freeway somehow? I don't know how you get there.
Yeah. I remember when we were kids, we went to one of our vacations was we went to like a different part of Pakistan to sort of go hiking, and we all day it took us to like get up this mountain, me, my family, and their friends.
Pathanville?
No, it's not. Yeah, we climbed the mountain by digging a hole.
God, they can't,
spatial jokes.
They can't do a damn thing the right way.
And we finally got all the way up. And this is our
What is a baton sandwich made of?
It's just two pieces of meat with a bread in between.
That is what it is. We've really figured this out. I saw they wear glasses on their feet and shoes on their head.
Yeah. They just have airplanes for hats.
We climbed all the way up, took us all day, and as soon as we got up there, it was like a very barren mountain. And we got there, and it was just one tree, and under that tree was just sitting a big fucking lion, like looking right at us. And we all walked up, saw this lion, and just hiked back down. Our whole day was gonna be hanging out on top of that mountain. We just saw this fucking
on Lion Ridge.
Yeah,
just this mountain's taken.
Yeah, this. Fucking...
So, what do you think, tough guy? You get a little adventure, but is there anything else we need to wrap up before we go on a month long break?
I don't actually hate animals. This is hypothetical.
No. We're not. None of us think you're actually gonna fight.
Everyone was disclaiming. I feel like I should have done it too.
No, don't let me jumpstart that.
Look, I think it's one thing's for certain. There's nothing that you can say on the stage that's so innocuous that someone's not gonna have a problem with.
No, that's true. I want to make that clear. That's a good example. That backpedal, whatever you call that. I was saying that because I am. I love people and I want them to be happy and I don't want them to be in pain. Then there's this other culture of like, wow, that was offensive. Technically, you put your elbow on the table of language, and it's like, I shouldn't have done that because I know that hurts someone. And so I'm saying like that's not. It's like we blur the two and go like you should apologize. I thought Natasha Leggero's non-apology for her
it was great, huh?
Her Pearl Harbor joke. I thought that was amazing. So like
perfectly
that reigned in a new era for me of like, what the fuck are we doing?
I missed that. Can you briefly?
She just made some joke on a New Year's Eve show about like it was just like. Didn't we talk about this already?
It was like a really innocuous joke, mainly about like Pearl Harbor veterans being old or something. It was a very innocuous joke. Yeah.
I don't know. SpaghettiOs was sponsoring the show, and she said that's good because it's the only food that the Pearl Harbor veterans. I had no idea.
That they can eat, but only because they're old.
Redoing someone's joke is not going to make it sound funny and blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't matter.
No, we've proven that.
Yeah. But her non-apology like blog was great because she's like, hello. So anyways, I guess I'm supposed to apologize, but I'm not going to because I don't really believe that the world's greatest generation was in any way threatened by my dumb joke about spaghetti.
Yeah,
I really refuse to believe it. I don't think Pearl Harbor got them down. If they survive Pearl Harbor, they can make it through my joke.
Yeah.
I think we apologize too much.
And you know why? Because the D&D day stands for day. I always wonder what D-Day stands for. It's Day-Day. It's the stupidest shit in the world.
D-Day stands for Day-Day?
I was like, what is D-Day? What is the D in D-Day? It's Day. Day-Day.
Like ATM machine?
Yeah. Salsa sauce. Yeah.
Or Sierra Mountains.
Ah. Right.
Or Glendale.
Glendale, which means Valley.
Yeah. Tautology, I think they call it. No? Is that right?
I don't know.
All right. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Day day. Fuck your language.
Fuck you, Pearl Harbor assholes. I'm sorry. Spencer, can we dispense?
While you unpack your gear,
Are we continuing the thing we were doing?
I hope so. Yeah.
Did you hear Errands and Dragons?
Yeah, it was amazing. I wish that she was here. I'd like her to DM me instead. So much less work. No, I'm kidding. I love it. But yeah, no, she was great. It was great. I really liked listening to it.
She was thinking of starting a podcast where she does a terrible job of dungeon mastering some kind of game, and I I think I was too much of an asshole about warning her. That was like, you know, there's some rules to the game. Like, you should read some of the books. Like, it's not just improv.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if I was just making stuff up, this would be so much easier.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a lot harder when you have to abide by rules and stuff. No offense to Erin. Like, I'm not saying she had any fault. She didn't do anything wrong. She was great, but just want to disclaim.
I mean, no, it was great because she did everything wrong. That's why it was great. Like, she willfully neglects the rules.
Sure. I was in a blackout. I don't remember.
Yeah, what did happen? Oh, you were doing the charity that day, and you were you were tight as Dick's hat band.
Yeah.
What is that, Dick's hat band?
You never heard that? It's an old expression.
What's weird is that I said yeah to it. I'm like yeah.
Yeah, that old chestnut. Tight as a Dick's hat band.
Tight as Dick's hat band. It means you're drunk. Look it up. I don't know.
Dick, like private eye, probably.
It's one of those. It's one of those idioms that nobody knows exactly why it is.
Private eyes wear tight hats.
It's one of those idioms that I just made up 30 seconds ago.
The other night I heard I was pissed as a parrot, which I think is great. I don't know that parrots got drunk, but I like that.
You know, there's wild parrots in Burbank.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Right outside like the building. I came out and I saw it and I was like, what is going on? There's a bunch
Spencer,
of parrots
how and shit. How would you fend yourself how would you fend off physically?
Well, first you clip their wings and then you do the spin kick.
No, it's spin punches. They're coming from the air.
Spin punches?
Spin punches. They're coming from the air.
Spin punches.
I don't suppose we can see the spin punches.
I can't kick that high. It looks the same, but I'm punching.
Yeah. Imagine it's so amazing. Imagine a flock of parrots attacking Spencer, and he's just going in a circle, punching left, punching right,
now,
punching left.
What if parrots and coyotes teamed up and came at you at once?
I mean, it's tough because the whole spin kick thing is you're punching behind you.
I didn't catch that. You had a rear guard punch going on.
Well, it's not a guard. It's more of a decoy that also flails. You might smack something.
I didn't even notice that.
I didn't know how nuanced.
This is well thought out. This is not just bullshit.
You're like a magician, man. You're distracting us with the.
If they jump at my back, they'll just get my arms. I could swing them around for a knee.
All right, Spencer. Let's rejoin our campaign in Dungeons and Dragons territory.
Oh yeah, he's got his hands behind him.
Yeah, it's better than getting your kidneys bit. Last time on Harmontown, our heroes, with the help of a minotaur named Meredith and her crazy ladder, had managed to climb out of their hole and back into the frozen wastelands of the north. They sought the Tarragon of Virtue, nestled upon the floating Isle of Paradise, which was elusive as it was utopian. Moraine jumped onto Coco and began scouting out the nearby landscape in all directions. In the vast, featureless tundra, the ranger discovered a sack covered in gnomish script and brought it back to the group. While the gang puzzled and debated over the sack, Moraine took initiative and leapt into the sack and into an equally magical city. The gang followed suit, and soon they were met with a gnome named Fizzbulb. Christopher quickly solved the gnome's riddle, granting them access to the magical city. But before the gang could enjoy Bill Mardigan's delights, they were stricken by agonizing pain, a symptom of their bloody soul curses, promises to slay Meredith, their newfound ally. But could the gang break their curses, or would they be forced to slay Meredith? And who was Bill Mardigan? And did he have anything to say about this? We'll find out tonight on an all-new Harmontown Time. Yay.
All right, so we're all feeling the agony of the soul curse in our heads right now.
Yeah, you guys are still reeling from the massive pain you just experienced. It was in your head, and then you felt a burning in your soul, and it was like
Is the gnome still with us?
Yeah, Fizzbulb.
Yeah, Fizzbulb. He's sitting on a toadstool. He just gave you the riddle, and you solved it. He's right. Sitting.
Let's go to Bill Mardigan's, right?
Yeah.
Let's see what this place is.
Yeah, we gotta get there.
Yeah.
All right.
They have buffalo wings there that'll wipe you out.
I want hot wings.
a gnome appears in front of you. I mean, he doesn't appear. He leaps out of a bucket that he was in, and he introduces himself. He says, "My name is Wizbulb, and I'm supposed to help you get around the city. How y'all doing today?"
He comes out of a bucket?
Out of a bucket.
I want to get high right now. Like,
Welcome to Bill Monaghan's, the city that's everywhere.
Well, you know where Wait.
I'm Wizbulb.
Do you work at Bill Monaghan's?
I have a job here. Mostly I'm just...
In the bucket?
No. Bill Monaghan's is the name of the city. That's everywhere.
Okay. Wizbulb.
Yeah.
We're cursed. We're cursed with a pain.
We were supposed to kill this Minotaur Meredith over here, and we didn't because we're good people. And now we're being punished. We're being punished for this deal that we made, that we would die if we didn't, you know, destroy this person.
I'm behind on my mortgage.
Okay, well, it's not a competition.
I thought we were just revealing personal truths.
No.
How much is the mortgage on your bucket?
No, that's not my house. It's a portal.
That's a portal?
Yeah.
I stick my head in his bucket.
You pop your head out of a bucket in a bathroom. It's a small bathroom. No, that's just where I keep the bucket.
Wait, do you poop in the bucket?
No. I use it for travel.
It'd be great to poop in the bucket and just send it to another dimension.
But then it'd come out right before you.
I pull my head out of the bucket and I look at Wizbulb.
You do that.
Is it you live in a bathroom?
I have a bathroom in my house where I keep a bucket.
Do you poop in that bucket?
I feel like my life is so much weirder than I've always thought.
I poke my head in the bucket and I look around for a toilet for confirmation that this is not the actual toilet.
There's a toilet and there's a sink. And okay. It's like a porcelain toilet. Like, okay, you don't even understand.
I pop my head back out. I go, okay, so you just keep the portal to this other dimension in your bathroom at your other crib.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why do you keep it in the bathroom?
Because then, you know, if I have to get out of the house.
What? Is that why they call you Wizbulb?
No. But that's very clever.
Well, it's not on me.
I mean, it seems like that's something that might have occurred to you before.
No, I never thought my bucket would be questioned, to be quite honest.
Wizbulb, is there anybody in Bill Monaghan's Great Expanse that could help us with lift this curse from us?
Bill Monaghan's a place of wonder. We got potion peddlers, vape shops, a barn grill, Spizwad's weird bungalow, and of course, a cigarette museum.
I go to Spizbob's weird bungalow. I make a beeline for Spizbob's.
I'll cover the cigarette museum.
I'm going to go in that bucket.
Okay, so Christopher emerges from the bucket in a gnomish bathroom while Quark heads over to...
Wait, how big is the bucket?
It's a magic bucket.
He can fit through it?
So can a gnome.
It's like Santa's chimney.
It's like that bag that you guys came through.
Yeah, okay. All right, sorry.
I'm just throwing things out there.
I pee in his toilet, but I don't flush because you know what they say. If it's yellow,
mellow,
let it mellow.
Keep it yellow.
If it's brown, let it drown. I don't know how it goes.
Let it drown?
Flush it down.
If it's brown, let it drown?
That's what my mother said to me when I was born.
That's not true. Oh!
They were really hoping for a miracle. I jump back out and I go, are we all going to different things?
I'm going to Spizbob's weird, what's it called? Weird bungalow?
Weird bungalow.
Okay.
All right, I want to go to the weird bungalow too.
I was going to do cigarette museum.
All right, cigarette museum. I'm going. I'm taking Meredith with me.
There's a sign that says closed for renovations. That's why I wanted to knock that one out first.
All right.
I pitch up to Spizbob's weird bungalow.
You come up to a shoddily constructed room. It's a one room flat. It's got a very little. It's got a big table with chains on either end that's just kind of dominating the center of the room. And on that table, sitting on it like it were a chair or something sittable, I guess it is sittable, is a gnome who you take to be Spizwad, especially because he has a name tag that says as such. He's got a big blue and orange beard, which is weird even for gnomes. And he's sitting there. He's like, hey, what's up?
I heard about your bungalow. Look, my name is Quark. I'm new here at Bill Mardigan's. And what's for sale here at the bungalow?
I'm a curse breaker and a healer.
Son of a bitch!
Oh shit!
Extraordinaire!
Nailed it.
I look out the bungalow. Hey, guys, I found the guy.
I look over from where I'm studying the really complex cigarette museum hours. trying to figure out Mondays and Tuesdays except Wednesdays. What? What?
I got a curse breaker in here.
Oh shit!
Yeah. I
go in there too.
So what seems to be the problem?
We have a soul curse on us because we made a deal to kill off this Minotaur here, Meredith, and we didn't want to because we took mercy.
Yeah, we befriended her.
And we feel like we're being punished unjustly, right?
She's
now.
A stand-up Minotaur
with a weird ladder.
He waves his arms and pokes his eyes with his hands, and you see his eyes kind of change color magically, and he's like, true vision. And he looks at you guys, and he's like,
is this like detective mode?
That's
in the
stuck in there
game?
Pretty good. Yeah, it is kind of like that. Kind of. I never played that game, probably.
Spizwad, is there any way to get these curses unbroken or broken?
They're in there pretty tight. It's going to cost a pretty penny. Do you guys have any material wealth?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, actually, I don't see anything in my money.
Spencer
thing.
Hasn't
you don't been. Loot corpses after you kill them?
Oh, fuck.
For any spare
money? Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
We Spizwad, full disclosure, we've killed a lot of people. That never occurred to us. We're fucking broke right now.
We've killed a lot of people.
I'm poor as Job's turkey over here. I killed a million people.
We're doing the batons looting.
Yeah.
Which is we give them money.
Yeah.
We leave money in the corpses.
A baton thief. Dollar signs appear in the corpse's eyes. wrong eyes.
I have a lute of charming I'd be willing to part with.
I can't play the lute. That's pretty cool though.
Yeah.
I could use 70 cartons of cigarettes.
Oh shit. Do you know to sell cigarettes at the cigarette museum? Because usually at museums they don't sell the stuff that they
guys.
I don't know what you're
guys,
talking
guys,
about.
Okay, I private powwow.
Yeah.
Private powwow.
Guys.
First of all, let's remember to loot corpses from now on.
Yeah. That was a mistake. We could have retired by now.
Yeah, because we're definitely going to leave some more corpses in our wake.
Yeah, certainly.
But we should have found some treasure now and then.
Not without looking for it.
Hey buddy.
Whoa. What
part of private powwow?
We should have walked further. What part of bungalow do you not understand? I can hear everything.
Okay,
it's a small
bungalow.
I'll leave.
But, no, stay here.
No, stay.
Spizwad, stay. Who gives a shit? Sharpie, you went over to the cigarette museum. Is it open?
It's closed for renovations.
Let's break into that thing, steal this guy his cigarettes, and we'll pay the dude off.
Renovation being the key point. They'll be expecting men in white overalls to be going in and out of there with tools.
Spizwad, is there
how about maybe we see if there's a store that sells cigarettes before we...
We're not going to be able to loot any corpses if we buy honest cigarettes.
We don't need to loot. I mean, we could just trade, maybe. Like, I could give up my Goggles of Night.
Spiswad, is this Bill? Spiswad, does anybody sell carton cigarettes in Bill Mardigan's?
Oh, probably. This place is full of cigarettes. I don't know about 70 cartons, though. It takes a long time to make more.
Okay, guys,
cigarettes.
Let's just go around the goddamn.
Wait, you guys make cigarettes?
If we need to, we can jump in the bucket or back out the bag.
Listen, they make cigarettes. That's what Bill Mardigan's does.
Well, yeah, it's the main export. It's the city of smoking and riddles.
Guys, I'm a gnome. We love smoking and riddles.
But it seems fucked up to rob a museum in the same town where you're buying curse breaks.
Spiswad, how bad do you want these cigarettes?
I mean, how bad do you not want to die?
Yeah. Okay. He makes a good point, fellas.
70 cartons. So 70. Your export is cigarettes. You guys are basically like North Carolina.
What?
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Guys, my head is killing me. I don't know about you guys, but the soul curse has really taken its toll. Let's not beat around the bush. It's a closed museum. We're seasoned veterans of lots of battles. Let's just go in there, get these cigarettes, pay the guy. We'll get the soul curse lifted. We'll jump back through the sack and be back on our way.
All right, but I feel morally conflicted about it, so we have to really keep it secret.
That seems weird. We've committed so many weirder crimes.
We've killed our friends. You've killed our friends.
No, I would like you to think back on all of my behavior throughout this campaign and realize that I'm...
Irrational.
Torrid asshole monsters that try to leverage us.
No, authority issues.
Yeah, so that's not, it's not the same as robbing a gnome museum.
A cigarette museum?
Well, they do, they are bad for you.
Yeah, we're getting rid of a cigarette museum? That's not good for the kids.
But you think a museum is going to have 70 cartons of cigarettes?
Spiswad, what's this museum about? Are there lots of cigarettes in there?
I'd reckon. Why do you ask?
You've never been? Oh, just because we really want to see what's...
We're just big fans.
You know it's closed for renovations.
Yeah.
Is there a cigarette factory around?
There really ought to be. I can't think of one, but you can imagine.
You're the city that has everything.
Yeah, you'd imagine.
No, there
everywhere. Would be. I admit that. Yeah. You'd imagine that.
Guys, I think I see which side the bread is buttered on. Let's just go to the museum.
Can I get a sub powwow?
Okay. Spiswad, cover your ears.
I'll leave.
Okay, Spiswad leaves.
I got the old teleport cape. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is going to be a breeze.
Let's go get
go find a spot in the alley and teleport to inside the
cigarette
museum.
Do we all go
museum.
In there?
Okay. I'll open the back door.
Well, we could also, yeah, that's great. How about this? You don't even need to open the back door. If we get that guy's bucket... You could teleport in with the bucket, and then we can climb through the bucket into the...
The bucket just leads to the guy's bathroom.
But if we move it from the guy's bathroom... Although, what? I don't know how you could carry the bucket through itself.
If I can teleport with the bucket into the museum, and then I can take a shit in that guy's bathroom from the museum, I don't know if it's going to help us.
I say it's worth a try. I mean, you mean it's better.
Not
better
exactly the perfect crime.
It's better to have it, not want, than not have.
I like the idea of bringing in a museum just to take a shit in their toilet.
In a different guy's toilet.
A different guy's. Guys, okay.
Okay, let's. I like that.
I'm gonna keep talking like this.
All right. Do we have a bag of holding or something? Right? I could just pop in there and fucking. I'll do this. All right. Hudson Hawk.
You
style.
Go. Okay. We could go to one of the other spots. That's
we'll make,
cool.
Well, yeah, we'll make a diversion. You go in there and do it, and we'll
Yeah, we'll create a diversion that'll draw attention away from the cigarette museum.
Okay, cool. Okay, give me a bag of holding. I got one. Okay.
Okay, great.
All right.
Hey, Spiswad.
Hey.
We're gonna get you 70
I'm
parts.
Back. Okay.
Are there any brands you prefer?
Oh. Yeah. "Give me some Gnarlboro Pinks."
What is this, the Flintstones?
That was way too... I got way too good of a reaction.
Gnarlboro.
It's like a terrible Mad magazine.
Bizwad, is there a famous commercial for Gnarlboro Pinks?
There would be, probably. Yeah. You'd think so, right?
Yeah. You know, they have the famous Gnarlboro Nan, who's right.
He's the Gnarlboro Gnome.
Gnarlboro Gnome. Yeah.
All right. I think we figured out the best version of that joke. Let's move on.
All right, come on. Right. I don't want to cliffhanger before this heist. I want
all right,
to get
no. Let's go. So you do that. We're going to create a distraction.
Okay, we'll go outside, and if we see, we'll be lookouts, and if we see any fuzz or anybody that wants to come up, and any 5-0 shows up, we'll
we divert. Should have some sort of signal that we can signal you if you're in there, like, hey, there's 5-0. What's the signal?
Don't we have...
I'll play my Lute of Charming.
I could sing "Lady in Red" like that.
Okay, if there's trouble, we'll start singing "Lady in Red" really loud.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we walk over to the cigarette museum.
Great song.
You do that. You're there.
All right.
It doesn't seem like there's any guards around.
Okay.
Any.
Cool. So we. So
I go to a discreet spot where I'm out of the view of the public. And I use the teleport cape to teleport myself through the wall of the museum.
You teleport into the museum. You see several things are like covered up and papered over for the renovation. But you see the biggest thing you see dominating the room next to posters of cigarettes and all sorts of breakdowns of models of cigarettes and diagrams. You see a giant bust of a gnome composed entirely of cigarette butts. Its eyes smolder with smoke, and it seems to look at you as you enter.
Bro, I think you just got fucked.
I disguise myself.
As you're casting the words, you notice it definitely is looking at you. It turns towards you, a massive amalgamation of cigarettes, and opens its mouth and says, "I am Bill Mardigan. What do you in my museum?"
Lady in Red! Dancing with me, cheek to cheek.
Well, I am Sharpie Butts-a-Lot.
Which is sort of a good descriptor for what this person is. And, a lot of butts.
And I am a...
He's a lot of butts.
Yeah.
I am a human sorcerer who has seen many adventures. And I am in your town because I am afflicted by an unfair curse that wants me to kill a friend, which I cannot. Because in my world, friendship and cigarettes are the... foundation of life. And I came in here to find cigarettes that I could use to pay to have my curse lifted. And those cards are on the table. I'm not a good liar. I don't think I could beat you in a fight. You're made of cigarettes. Even if I could, I wouldn't want to.
Because even if he did, he wouldn't loot you.
Bad at looting. Pull out my pockets. I've never looted a single corpse in my life. That should tell you something.
That's no excuse for trespassing. Even if you like friendship and cigarettes, the two most important things to me.
Sounds like there's some common ground.
You're absolutely right, and I didn't think that I wasn't thinking of it as trespassing. I was thinking of it as I saw the sign that said you're under renovation.
Yeah, it's a dangerous place. You might get hurt.
Yeah, and I've done a lot of carpentry and things, and so I misinterpreted it with my tiny non-cigarette brain as meaning that you needed help renovating in here. and was going to come in and help so I could come in and see the cigarettes sooner. I fucked up. I'm admitting that.
So you are lying. We're outside. We're outside.
Never seen you looking so lovely as you did tonight.
His eyes seem to glow brighter as if someone's taken a drag from his eyes. And then he opens his mouth and smoke billows out into the room. It swirls around you and consumes you in choking acrid smog. It's hard to breathe, but it doesn't feel too bad. It feels smooth and flavorful.
You have entered Marlboro country.
Can I get a at least like a warning label about this, or explaining what it is, or
no?
All right. Well, are we fighting?
Just wait.
What are we doing outside?
You guys are looking for guards, right?
We think we're kicking ass.
Yeah. There's not very many guards. It's almost.
I look at Krista Berg and said, "This is taking too long." Maybe.
No, I don't know. You think something's
gone wrong?
It's 70 cartons. I think it's going to take him a while.
I don't like
that. Trust me. I think things are fine.
Okay.
I'm wearing my boots of spry springing. Does that mean I could like leap out of the smoke? And...
You can, yeah, sure.
I say to the guy, "Hey, listen, I'm wearing these boots of spry springing, and I might leap out of the smoke. Just really still wanting to have an open dialogue with you, and I don't want to lose your trust and create a cycle of mistrust by avoiding this smoke, but at the same time, you're not explaining the smoke. I asked you, are you attacking me? You said, just wait. I could take that two ways.
Okay, can we go outside? Hey, I think something is wrong.
Yeah,
there's a chance that he's probably getting angry.
You know what? I say we go in there and help right now. Let's just burst our way in. This is taking too long. I'm going to go grab that pee bucket, that portal. And just in case.
Go to the guy's bathroom.
Yeah, so I go.
That's a good getaway place.
Just in case. It's better to have. I go grab the pee portal bucket, and I just burst with all my might through the front door.
You burst with all your might through the front door and into the area where Sharpie managed to pull himself into. You see him. He's surrounded by smoke, but then he leaps out of it, right?
Well, no, I started talking to the
then
guy.
Then he's saying all these weird things. You don't get what's going on. It's very confusing. There's a man made of cigarettes.
Don't think that, you know, now's the time to enter into conflict.
While he's talking, I take the bucket and I see the cigarette monster, right? I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, don't attack the cigarette monster.
I go instinctively.
I think what we could do.
Krista Berg?
I think we can wave the bucket around and move all the smoke to that guy's bathroom.
I was just going to push him into the bucket and send him to the fucking bathroom.
I feel like. He's not going to go to the bathroom. Yeah, what if he doesn't want to go to the bathroom?
Well. He'll be in the bucket.
I think we could talk to him. I think we could talk to this guy.
All right.
Let's not fight
this
guy.
Smoke pours through the guy's mouth and is now kind of consuming this whole room and smoke. You guys are overcome with smooth flavor.
Hey, sense motive on him, maybe?
No.
Yeah. No.
Hold on.
He's trying to give you flavor.
You think that he doesn't seem hostile, but he does seem overwhelmingly powerful.
All right.
I don't think a bucket is going to defeat this guy.
I light a torch and I throw it at him to try to ignite.
No! No, please. I intercept the torch.
Okay. All right. I didn't throw. I had it cocked.
And I go... Quark!
What?
Please, let's talk to this guy.
He's attacking their friend.
Is he attacking? Hey.
Who are you asking?
Cigarette buddy.
I am Bill Mardigan.
Oh, it's Bill Mardigan!
Holy shit!
Dude, your name is everywhere.
I am everywhere.
Are you attacking our friend or are things cool?
No, He's a true follower of the curling smoke. He enjoys both cigarettes and friendship.
Oh, that's good. You almost said this guy.
That's funny. You should say that. That's very funny because I just lit this torch because I like smooth flavors. I smoke torches. This is like a big, really hardcore cigarette.
Great.
All right.
Okay, hey, I love cigarettes also.
Right. Then breathe in the purifying smoke of Marlboro.
It's all right.
You sense motive on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just welcoming us to Marlboro country.
We're going to get killed by this guy.
No, he's a good guy.
You don't know. We've been in here for three seconds.
It seems like he's... Okay, again.
You're going to regret me not lighting this fucker on fire.
This has happened a lot. We've run into people who are our friends, and we end up fighting them, and they're very powerful.
He's a cigarette monster.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him to suppress research about long-term effects of what's happening here.
This is
but
not
at the
our...
same time, in the short term, I think he just wants us to be happy.
All right. Look, 10-10, cliffhanger, I deeply inhale the smoke, and I say, fuck it.
You feel your curse being lifted.
Oh, my guys, you guys got to try this.
I also deeply inhale.
I hadn't inhaled yet.
I don't. You seem to be kind of resisting.
Oh, sorry, I was talking. I assumed I was breathing the whole time.
I don't know. The same happens to you. Christopher, you're still possessed in general, though.
Oh, fuck, right.
No.
Okay. Fuck the cigarette monster.
No.
Fuck you, buddy.
No, we can go back to Spizwad and maybe get your curse lifted. We can bring him some cigarettes.
I don't have a curse. I'm doing great.
No, you're... But our curses are lifted, you guys. I mean, at least that soul curse. For the time being, we're good.
Meredith bursts in carrying a long ladder.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hey, what's up?
We're good. We don't have to kill you now.
I'll put this away then. She leaves.
Cliffhanger!
Yay. All right, gang.
Yeah.
If you're crazy, go get professional help. If you're a race, love yourself and each other. If you're a comedy writer, embrace the challenge of writing non-offensive comedy. If you love Harmontown, we'll see you in May. Thank you, Dustin Marshall. Thank you, Meltdown. Nerd Melt.
And thank you most of all to the people that come here every week. You guys are the best. We love you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Zach, the Audio Maniac. And
we sent you free on Sundays to watch Game of Thrones in peace.
Oh, yeah.